Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Tonight we're going to talk about the great fish that swallowed up Jonah those many days ago, or perhaps many nights ago. Maybe this was a great storm that took place at sea in the darkness of an overcast and non-starlit night. Who knows at what time of the day, but we're going to talk about what Jesus would teach us today, God, through this story about the great fish. And let's just recount that for a minute, that God gave a command to Jonah because he loved Nineveh and wanted them to repent. God had Jonah to go cry against that city. And Jonah ran away from the presence of the Lord, got a ship, went to try to go to Tarshish, which is in Spain, far, far, far away from Israel and Nineveh. Couldn't outrun the Lord. The Lord sent a storm after him. The captain and the crew were thinking that they would perish. They woke Jonah, asking him to call upon his God. They cast lots and found out all this storm was an account of this man. And he said, I'm a Hebrew. I'm running away from the Lord, and it's on account of me that this great storm has come down upon you. Throw me into the sea, and it will quiet down for you. The sailors tried to save him, to row back to land. They could not because God would not allow it. And eventually they cast him, hurled him into the sea. And the sea became quiet. And then we read this verse in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, last verse of the chapter. Now picture him in the dark, dark, cold, icy deep, feeling that chill all over his body, plunged in, believing he's going to the bottom. And then he sees this, a fin. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Wow, can you just imagine that? When I was at sea years ago, I used to look at that rail on a night watch as we're hauling along. The wooden deck is heaving and we're sideways. And I'd look over that rail about this far away. And all I saw on the other side was darkness. Just maybe a little bit of a white cap go by, but it was just darkness. And a dark sea all the way to the horizon. And knowing it was far, far out of sight of land. And I looked at that rail and I thought, 2 steps and that's the end of my life. If I go over that rail, 2 steps away, it's the end. Just imagine, Jonah plunged, was hurled into that sea. He went down into ice cold water, and then, if that were not enough, a great fish came. Now, what kind of fish was this? A whale, they say. Actually, the word in the Greek in Matthew is katos, I believe, which can be translated whale or great fish. In the Hebrew, in Jonah, it is the word is dog. Isn't that funny? The word dog in Hebrew is actually fish in English, and it's not only a fish in Hebrew, but a gavol fish, a great fish. What kind of creature is this? We don't know. It could be a whale. We know it's a large sea creature. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 20, it says, in the beginning, on one of the first days, God created the great sea creature. My translation says, the great sea monsters. And in Psalm 104, it says, yonder is the sea, great and wide, which teems with things innumerable, living things both small and great. There go the ships, and Leviathan, which thou didst form to sport in it. I like the way that's rendered. Leviathan is the great sea creature. The great, I don't know exactly which it's referring to, but God made him to play out there in the waters. But notice something about this whole scenario. The tempest being hurled down, the sea, the whole situation, and the fish are all under God's command. He is in charge of his creation and his creatures. In fact, it says here in Psalm 148, praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all deeps, fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind, fulfilling his command. That sounds like Jonah could have written that, huh? You know, nothing is by chance in this world. God's in charge. The Bible says he even makes the grass to grow on the hills. And this is a great word for us, is that God shows himself to be in command of his creatures as well. And he can appoint even this creature, which may be a shark, for all we know, a symbol, if you will, of death. No, anybody want to be swallowed by a great fish? You think, that's the end of my life. Right? But nevertheless, with God, he can direct this seeming angel of death to be one to be a preserver and a deliverer, even to do that for us in our life's perils. So what is this? A fish? A shark, perhaps? There's actually, I looked this up today, a whale shark, as you know, the largest fish in the ocean. The largest one ever measured was 41 feet long, 21.5 tons, 23 feet wide, with a mouth 4.9 feet wide. So that would be about from the end of my fingers to right about here. It would be the size of the mouth there. That could do the job. And in fact, there are reports also that they've been seen being up to 75 feet long, which would make more like an 8-foot wide mouth, could also do the job. And God basically says, you, fish, follow this ship. Be waiting and lurking in the dark underneath it, and at the appointed time, swallow him up, my boy, and I'm going to take him back where he needs to go. But God is in charge, and that's a good word for us, that God can control even his creatures in miraculous ways outside of the regular laws of nature to take care of you. And this is definitely, then, a miracle. Let me read what Luther says here of this experience. If you can just put yourself into the fish for a moment. Jonah must have thought that these were the longest days and nights ever lived under the sun. It must have seemed an interminably long time that he sat there in the dark. Yes, I suppose that he occasionally lay down or stood up. he saw neither sun nor moon and was unable to compute the passage of time. Nor did he know where in the sea he was traveling about with a fish. How often lung and liver must have pained him. How strange his abode must have been among the intestines and the huge ribs. However, death was crowding in upon him, and he paid scant attention to the fish. His one thought was, when will this come to an end? Then Luther says, oh God, what a great miracle this is. Who can really comprehend how a man can survive 3 days and three nights within a fish, in the middle of the heart of the sea, all alone without light and food, and in the end return to dry land again? So the miracle is really not that he fell into the sea. The miracle is really not that he got swallowed. The miracle is really that he came out alive after all this, right? And this was a miracle. It was also a sign to the people of Nineveh, Jesus says. Let's read that. Matthew 12. Jesus says, it says that some of the scribes and Pharisees said to him, teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign. No sign shall be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, says Jesus. And then it goes on about Jonah. But look at that. Jonah was a sign to the people of Nineveh. His time in the fish confirmed his word when he went to speak to them. And in the same way, Jesus was 3 days and three nights in the belly of his fish called the earth, in the grave. And what's the greater miracle to you? A man alive in a fish for 3 days and comes out alive? Or a man dead in a tomb 3 days and comes out alive? It's the same prophet, same sign, but a greater one. Something greater than Jonah is here. And if Jonah's miracle was a sign to the people of Nineveh to confirm his word that he was going to preach to them, how much more will Jesus' miracle and sign be a confirmation of the word that he's preached to you? And I'll tell you, he was dead 3 days, and he was raised to life. And if that happened, and it did, how much more is this word then true for you? When Jesus says, repent and believe the good news of the gospel, that whoever believes in me shall not perish, but has eternal life. So let me conclude with this question for you. Have you ever been swallowed by a whale? By a great fish? Ever been in the heart of the beast? You will. Do you know that? You will. We're all going to die one day, and as Jonah was in the belly of the fish, Jesus was in the grave, you also will one day be in that grave with all the billows passing over you, just like Jonah. But with you in that grave will be God to raise you up, just like he raised up Jonah, just like he raised up Jesus. So also this word has promised to raise you up. And therefore Jonah says this, and these would be our thoughts. For thou didst cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood was round about me. All thy waves and thy billows passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out from thy presence. How shall I look upon thy temple again? The waters closed in over me. The deep was round about me. Weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet thou didst bring up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. What a great message. Just forget being a preacher and doing a sermon and giving a talk. I'm telling you the truth. When we die and go into the belly of the fish and we are there, God has promised to be there with you and to raise you up. That's why he had this crazy event happen in history, once in a lifetime, once in the history of the world, a fish. Same with Jesus, but the same with you. And what happened at the end of Jonah's story? The fish vomited him out upon dry land, and the grave spit out Jesus. It could not hold him, and the same will happen with you. You shall be released and spit out from the grave, you who have believed in Christ, brought to a new land and a new country, as was Jonah, but for us, to a kingdom that has no end. Amen.